This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between France and Denmark. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Good evening from Qatar, where we have just watched France beat Denmark and qualify for the next stage of the competition. My name is Mark Roberts, and with us tonight, as we leave the stadium 974, is Jürgen Klinsmann, Jurie Char, Pascal Zouba-Boulet and Elliot Stonnell from our FIFA Football Performance Analysis and Insights team. Voices I am sure you'll become very familiar with by now as well. So in this fourth World Cup meeting between the two, all of which have taken place within the group stages, it was two goals from Kylian Mbappe that secured the victory for France. Jürgen, your thoughts first, and in particular, what you observed from France.
I thought overall it was a very interesting and a good game. Denmark came back, which was really good for the game because it kept the tempo then in the game. France was a little bit different in the way they were shaped up than the initial game against Australia, where they often doubled over the wings and tried to get down to the end line, crosses in. In this game, they left it more up to Mbappe on his own, and on the other side, Dembélé on his own, but they still performed well. I thought Griezmann had an outstanding game, not only on his influence on the attacking plays from France, also his entire work rate. He recovered a lot of balls, won back a lot of balls in his counter-pressing and the team's counter-pressing. So, at the end of the day, a deserved win. Especially because if you have Kylian Mbappe in your team, then you know that sooner or later there are coming some brilliant moments with his pace and with his agility and his smell also where to go. And especially in the first goal, the way he followed through the entire play, he came into the box, he played it then, I think it was Theo Hernandez. Theo Hernandez not even did look up. I mean, he really just knew exactly where Mbappe will do his run and passes the ball blindly back, and Mbappe finishes it off. I think no chance there for Kasper Schmeichel. And then the second goal was just right there. He smelled it, where the cross will come. The cross was a very good cross. It was difficult to defend for Denmark, and here it comes, you know, another goal. And this is what makes a difference of a team. You have a goal scorer, you have one that puts the ball in the back of the net and is always dangerous throughout the entire game. But overall, I also thought that Denmark played well, very well shaped against France. They had a plan. You could see that in their formation, in their tactical approach to the game. But then it's the individual class that makes the difference, and that's Kylian Mbappe.
And you mentioned, John, that the first half, Jürgen, the movement of Kylian was consistent in the first half, and I guess he got his rewards in the second as well.
Yeah, and I mean, that's good when you guys jump in from the stats, from the data that you can see that confirms our feeling then, that when you observe, you know, so how is the game evolving, how many moments of influence do these key players have, you know, do they drop maybe in the second half because they get tired, or are they consistent with every couple of minutes and having kind of an opportunity to do something different in the game. And I thought especially Griezmann throughout the entire 90 minutes was consistently in the game. It was always reachable for his teammates and directing basically a bit the game of France. On the other side as well, I think Eriksen, as we saw already in the first game against Tunisia, was very, very present, was there, was linking the pieces on the Danish side, but unfortunately Denmark doesn't have the power up front to score the goals.
So Jürgen mentioned Griezmann's importance in defence there for France. From the data we can see that he made 49 pressures, which was the highest of any French player during the game, and from those 49 pressures he made 8 forced turnovers, which was one of the highest of the French team. Just touched on Mbappe's influence for France. He received the ball between the midfield and defensive unit 29 times, which is usually a very good indicator of someone's influence on a game. in terms of France getting down the left-hand side of the pitch. Today they did it 22 times, which was a little bit lower than against Australia, where they did it 36 times.
No, thank you, Elliot. And in particular, did anything else stand out for you, Elliot, in terms of how Denmark approached the game today?
Yeah, so from the stats live during the game, we noticed that Denmark had quite a high entry rate into the final third via the right-hand side channel, with the right-wing back Christensen receiving between the midfield and defensive unit 22 times.
No, thank you. And Duri, you were observing Denmark in particular for us today, and we chatted you on the game, I guess, about that interesting trend on identifying how Denmark were entering the final third, and Elliot's just, I guess, details something to support that. But could you explain to us actually what you identified and how they were making progress into the final third?
Yeah, I think Denmark did it well, was not bad against the defending champion. In the first half, they had some problems to close the flanks, especially against Mbappe and Dembele in the one against one situation. But the second half was much better. Yeah, they had a pattern. They know that Mbappe don't like to run him back so much. So they used the wing back. Christensen, he push him up high and bring a quick diagonal ball. And then they have with Christensen and Lindström, two players who created the chances. They made a corner kick for the equalizer like this, in this pattern. But only to receive the ball in the final third is not enough. And then after, when they came in the final third, then they have to the quality for creating the chance in the one-against-one situation, or bring a good ball into the box, or good crosses. This quality was... again, not good enough for scoring more goals.
And I know we've spoken a few times at some of the games. That's a trend, I guess, we're starting to see in terms of some of the entries into the final third, maybe similar. But then it comes down to that individual quality as well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you see how French played when they came in the final third, how dangerous, how good crosses coming into the box, and that's a big difference. And I mean, the last goal from French, from Mbappe, was same, a good cross to the second post. That's the quality from the team, and how you can say it, when you have a striker like Mbappe, then they can change the game, they can change the game rhythm, they can change the score, and that's the most important.
The quality of the crosses, that was for me today to see, unbelievable. The quality of the cross from Griezmann, especially, also in the first half already, he had one or two crosses, and this is really very, very difficult to defend for a goalkeeper. Yeah, we've spoken already today about the importance of the crosses in this World Cup, and also how many goals already get scored from crosses. And the last cross came again close on the 16-yard, and from Griezmann with his left foot. It was an in-swing across, and so difficult. Even Kasper Schmeichel, he had a good positioning, starting positioning, but to react on this cross, you have to really be so risky, so open, standing with your upper body, and to maybe to go and to defend not your goal at the back, your goal on the side. Then it's another situation where you could take this risk and to deflect this ball. But again, I don't want to blame Kasper Schmeichel in this situation, but you could maybe do it differently. But for this, you need optimal positioning. You need an absolute important first step. Even you have a little step backwards, you are out. You have no chance anymore to deflect this cross. And also the equalizer from Denmark, it was a corner kick, yeah. But on this corner kick, you see also the importance of the delivery, and also on the first post with Joachim Andersen, who deflected this ball, and behind was Andreas Christensen, who scored. You have no chance as a goalkeeper in this situation, but you see again the importance how to score on set plays or on crosses. It's huge on this World Cup.
No, thanks, Ruben. You talked in the podcast earlier today as well, just those fine, I guess, technical details that goalkeepers need to be aware of when that ball's in the wide area. But I guess from Jürgen and Jury's point of view, as a centre-forward, Jürgen, as a defender, Jury, when you know that type of delivery's coming in, is it, I guess, what type of things are going through your mind when that ball's in the wide area?
Yeah, for the defender, it's always difficult to defend him, because you have to look the ball and the opener player as well. So with the striker, attacking players make a good run from the blind side or change the rhythm, then it's very, very difficult to defending, and especially when the crossing come in like today from France, then I think you have no chance to defend it.
And Jürgen, when you, as a forward, when you know that ball is going to come in and going to come in with good quality, what type of things are you thinking?
Well, it's a lot of your instinct that obviously you have from little on, and the anticipation. You know, you speculate, you see what develops on the flank, and you know exactly what your opponent is, and you want to be that split second ahead of him, but your timing needs to be right, you know, and then you also need to be determined to go into that ball. Mbappé, in that moment when he went into that, you know, ball for the second goal, he didn't know how the ball exactly will come, but he anticipated, he went ahead of the guy, and then obviously I think he had to almost use his hip in order to score that. But once you are ahead of your defender, then you're confident to say, whatever body piece I need to use now, I'm going to use, if it's ahead, your foot, or if it's your hip, you're going to just put that ball in the net. And that's something that grows over many, many years when you develop as a player. But anticipation is probably the right word in that situation.
No, thank you, and really good summary. And
Smell the ball coming, eh?
Many different ways. And Zubi, just I guess last thing from you. Two very experienced goalkeepers on show today, both actually captaining their sides. And what were your thoughts, I guess, on their overall performance and I guess their role in their own teams as well?
Good. They are huge experienced goalkeepers. Hugo Lloris and Kasper Schmeichel almost on the same age, 35 and 36. And it's for them, of course, I imagine the last World Cup so far, and they both want to show up, of course, how good they are and how important they are for their team, of course.
No, thank you, and thank you everyone again. Well, after another busy day of World Cup action, and with Stadium 974 far in the distance, from myself, Mark Roberts, Jürgen, Jury, Zubi and Elliot, we wish you a good evening, and don't forget to tune back in tomorrow as we welcome back another 8 teams to the World Cup party, including a mouth-watering clash between Spain and Germany. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.